So Advent, along with Lent, is supposed to be a penitential season, thus the purple vestments and the absence of the Gloria. We tried to symbolize this in a variety of ways. It's a call for conversion, therefore, the time. But then the question, it's a very real question, I think, for us Catholics, too, is, what does it mean to be converted? You know, when I was growing up, it was not to go into Protestant churches, not to eat meat on Friday. We had this interminable list of do's and don'ts. And the problem with all of that was all secondary or tertiary. And we didn't have any real sense of what it was to be converted and to what we were to be converted. Here's John the Baptist preaching repentance. What's he about? He's about the hypocrisy of the religious authorities of his day, who precisely emphasized the secondary aspects of religion, the incidental actions of religion, and canonized them as the very heart of what it was to be religious. Terrible misplacement. And of course, this is the story of Jesus' career too. If you read the New Testament, the only people that Jesus is angry at are the religious leaders. They're the ones who misconstrue what God is about, what God wants of us, but who are very emphatic and very self-righteous and very certain of what God wanted. So in the midst of this, the readings for Advent in this first year, year A, as it's called, are wonderfully illustrative of what it is to be converted. Last Sunday, with that glorious metaphor from Isaiah of swords being turned into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks, and today we have more wonderful, wonderful images of the reconciliation of nature. That even in natural order, with animals which are normally antagonistic to each other, are going to live at peace, they live reconciled. But again, it's possible to lose yourself in the beauty of those metaphors and say, well, what really is called for here? And I suggest that the main thing that is called for here is this statement that God's Messiah, son of Jesse, who was David's father, of course, is going to judge the poor with justice. You know, this is as urgent and as absent a reality today as it's ever been, I think. If you don't believe me, spend a day in one of the courtrooms in London, Ontario. See the people who are paraded there before the judges. See who their lawyers are. The poor are inevitably going to get the short end of the stick. Poor are inevitably going to be impoverished by the legal system as well. And that's why it is, this is a stunning week, I think, in the history of the world, if you will. Because we see the emergence again, in our memories at least, of the figure of Mandela. It is essential, I think, that we spend the time in this week before his burial, that we look closely and think deeply about this figure. If you want to know what we're supposed to be anticipating in Lent, what we're supposed to be repenting for, I cannot think of many more useful models than that of Nelson Mandela. Now, we have to be careful. Mandela himself said, if you think I'm a saint, you're wrong. But if a saint is someone who sins and then gets up and starts again, that's what a saint is. But we have to really think deeply about being in jail for 27 years. And coming out of that horrific experience, and Robben Island was anything but a picnic. To see where his head was, where his heart was. He talks about the two things that are singularly absent in our world, truth and reconciliation. It's a canard, but very true, to say that the first victim of war is always the truth. We don't have to talk about Syria or the Central African Republic. We have to talk about University of Western Ontario. We have to talk about the Roman Church. To see where truth is subordinated in the interest of power, self-promotion, appetites of one thing or for one thing or another. But what Mandela really wanted was real truth. What was the truth that he wanted? That we human beings belong with each other. That all of the barriers we erect to protect ourselves from the other, whether the other is black or yellow or poor, the truth is that we belong with each other. And therefore, there can be no truth without reconciliation. I have been really struck this week that television has been filled with reports of Mandela's career. With the thought that a guy could come out of jail after 27 years and look for truth and reconciliation, not vindictiveness, not anger, not vengeance, not retribution according to his limited views. But somehow he came out with this view of the kingdom of God, if you will, where lions and lambs do lie down with each other, but above all, where the poor are judged with justice. I mean, it's monumental, it seems to me, the life of this man. One of the many commentators has said, a lot of world leaders are respected, but not many are loved. I think Mandela is loved and should be loved. Why? Because of who he was, because of his vision of what human life is supposed to be, of his understanding of how we are to live with each other, despite all our differences. Because for him, the poor were judged with justice. If you know anything at all about the apartheid regimen, it was ghastly. It was ghastly. The white population of South Africa, very small, and yet they occupied the best lands, had the best jobs, were really in charge of a country where 80-85% of the population was black. It is breathtaking, it seems to me, that we've been blessed by the presence, by the example of such a man in our world, where lions normally consume lambs, where the poor are outraged, or should be outraged, by the fact that they are neglected by the society at large, as we continue to do. But that's what it means to be converted. That's what it means to repent. Not because you had nasty thoughts, sex. But the Pope is dead right in saying we are obsessed with sexual matters. And somebody told me this week that he goes out at night in the city of Rome to the poor neighborhoods of Rome to attend to the homeless people he finds there. And we know that when he was in Buenos Aires as the archbishop, he said, the poor or the one who gives me lungs to breathe. This is what we're called to. This is what the kingdom of God is about. This is what Advent is for. What is absent? We need to know in detail what is absent in our world. We can't have this all this vague thing. Well, we're not what we're supposed to be. What are we supposed to be? Well, I don't have to look much further than to consider the figure of Nelson Mandela for an answer.